Father, thank you for the family fellowship we had downstairs and the family supper we enjoyed together. And it just reminds us of the supper that you shared, the Passover meal that you shared with the disciples before going to the cross. Father, we can see in the Word of God the fellowship you shared with those disciples. And we thank you for the fellowship we share one with another and with you. Lord, as we approach this communion service tonight, may we understand the importance of it and the meaning of it and the application it has into our lives. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing just a few, maybe a number of songs. I don't know, maybe just a verse, maybe two verses. But in between, I'd like to take some testimonies until we come to the time for the passing of the two plates that we have up here, the bread and the grape juice. And so let's sing, first of all, number 198. We sing the songs usually at Christmas and maybe at Easter. But I just like it, and there's no reason you can't sing it any time of the year. It's called Born to Die. And you may remain seated, okay? But boy, this song, I never heard this song until, it's getting to be a few years ago now, but all through my early years, I never heard this song. It's written by Ron Hamilton down at the bottom. He was born 1950. I was born 1951. Of course, he just passed away this past year. He's gone to heaven, so that date's not even in here. I don't know when this song he wrote was, but it's a great one. Born to Die. Let the words sink in as we sing it. On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sins to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Don't those words just get you? Born to die. It's powerful. Powerful. How about a testimony tonight? Keep your book open to this page. A testimony, Marvell. Amen. You know, when we were up in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, there was a few times I preached at a Brethren church. Now, they were born again, brothers and sisters in Christ. They practiced a few, it was way up in Chapleau, if anybody here knows where that is. That's maybe 300 miles, maybe not quite, 200 miles north of Sault Ste. Marie. It's good fishing country. But anyway, made some dear friends up there, brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, they did communion a little bit differently. They took their whole Sunday school hour, just took the whole hour. And just took time, like we're doing right now, to sing some songs regarding Christ and his sacrifice for us. And then people shared. And I mean, they shared. And I think that's a good thing to do. So we'll sing another verse of this, and then just feel free. You just kind of have to push yourself a little bit, maybe, to do that. Men, ladies, doesn't matter. You're all welcome to share. Let's do verse 4, we'll do, okay? Dearest Lord, evermore, may thy cross I adore. Here we go. Dearest Lord, evermore, may thy cross I adore, as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to thee. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sins to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. One more difference they had up there in Chapleau is that they would pass a whole loaf of bread, and you just take a chunk off. And that was just a different custom. But I don't know, maybe they changed that with COVID. You would think perhaps they did. But when we were in Europe one time, and Christy was with me, we were with a church group over there in a Baptist church, but they passed one cup. Everybody drank out of the same cup. Now that was different. Christy's not in here. She didn't do it. And I don't know what they did when it came to COVID time. That would be interesting. But anyway, another testimony. Yes, Beth.
That next step.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Let's sing a number 243, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. 243.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride.
Someone else. Long suffering, God's long suffering. That's a good word, isn't it? All right. 355, Jesus paid it all. What a wonderful hymn. 355.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Look at verse 2 and follow along as I read it, okay? Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Verse 3, for nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. What a miracle that is. When the blackness of sin meets the crimson red blood and changes to the whiteness of snow. That's a miracle. That can only be a miracle. Let's sing together verse 4.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete,
Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Another testimony tonight. Miss Adela. Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. We'll probably sing again if there's a chair up there for you, Catherine. Or turn to Luke chapter 22. Quite often on the communion service, I and other pastors will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. There perhaps we find the most detailed accounting of what the Lord's Supper is all about. But we find it at other passages of the scripture as well. And here in Luke, we find the last Passover and then the Lord's Supper that was instituted. And chapter 22 of Luke, let's just read it together, all right? Beginning in verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Get the picture of this now, okay? Jesus and the disciples gathered together. They had a meal. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer his death coming up. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Remember that, okay? Verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Of course, here we're instructed as to the order of the Lord's Supper and also the elements that are involved. You know, so often from my youth through good many of my years, most of my years, and really my times with that Brethren church when they took a whole hour for communion, most of the times communion was just pretty quick, tacked on to the end of a service. And I don't want to say it was insincere or anything about that, but sometimes it sort of felt like it was just an afterthought. Well, we got to get communion in. Let's do it. And sometimes the significance and the importance of it did not sink in. I'm afraid, now that's my experience, and maybe it's not yours, but this is a very, really sacred time tonight. One of the ordinances that Jesus instructed us to do until he comes. And I'd like to give you just a little bit of background regarding communion and the Lord's Supper tonight. And in fact, what I want to start with is just to share with you what a Jewish wedding was like. Okay? In a Jewish wedding, if a guy had his eyes on a gal and he thought she was the right one for him, she would go to the home of that girl and meet with the father. Now, in all of this, she had the right of refusal. So I understand it wasn't arranged where she had to marry him, but he went to the home of that Jewish girl and met with the father. And then there was he would have conveyed his intentions, why he was there. I love your daughter, and I would like to marry her. I don't know if those were the words, but something to that effect. And then there would be an arrangement made. And it would be a covenant arrangement that was made. It was generally always even written up. And there would be a dowry involved. Or sometimes it was called, well, I didn't write that down. There was another term for that, but a dowry, essentially. In other words, the fellow was expected to give something for this woman who was to be his bride. Now, can you think of a biblical example of someone in the Old Testament? And let me just say, sometimes it was in the form of labor. Sometimes it was a monetary type of dowry. Maybe it was two camels and an ox or something else, okay? It differed. Can anybody think of a dowry that was labor intensive? Jacob, he went to and served Laban. It was supposed to be 7 years, turned into 14, didn't it? Through some treachery there in the story. What a great story. But he was serving for his wife. Is that Rachel? Yeah, I get those names mixed up. Rachel. Yeah, I got Leah first. Yeah. And then he got, it was supposed to be Rachel. But anyway, that was a dowry, and that was an agreement. It was actually a covenant agreement. And a covenant agreement was serious business. It was not to be broken. And then what would happen is this prospective bridegroom would offer a cup of wine. Now, I believe that was unfermented fruit of the vine, okay? And we won't go long on that tonight, but I do believe there's a difference, all right? And there's a difference in context throughout the Bible, and people get very confused. And that's a shame, because Solomon wasn't confused when he wrote, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." But anyway, that's not the topic tonight. But the important way to figure that out, because people will say, well, this seems to say that it's okay. Then you've got Proverbs 21, which I just quoted to you, which I learned as a young man, and it served me well. But you have to understand context. Context. What was the context where the verses, whatever passage it is you're looking at? But anyway, I digress. All right? A rabbit trail. But the bridegroom would offer to the bride, prospective bride, a cup of wine, grape juice. She had the right to refuse. And if she refused, well, he probably would have gone home dejected, all right? The covenant wouldn't have been fulfilled, and the dowry wouldn't have been paid. But if she accepted it, then the contract, the covenant, was fulfilled. Now, in Bible days, when that happened, that was essentially the moment of marriage. In today's society, we would say they were then engaged. And then they would go forward. Today, we'd go forward to the wedding. But in Bible days, when that cup was accepted, the covenant was made. The marriage was at that point. Now, hold on. Because then the bridegroom, if she accepted, good news for him, right? And he would go home to most likely his father's place. They tended to live like that on top of each other. He would go home and he would start building a room for his bride. And when it was done, And when he was ready, he'd go back to where his, I would say, wife was. And then bring her back, and the marriage would be consummated. That's how it worked in Bible days. Now, make the spiritual application, if you will. Here's the Lord, and he institutes the Lord's Supper, and he holds out the cup to his disciples. And in a spiritual sense, he was saying, will you marry me? Will you be my spiritual bride? And of course, we know that here, they accepted it. Now today, we're going to pass the cup as well. We'll start with the bread, which is the broken body, represents the broken body. But then we'll go to the cup, and the cup will be offered to you today. You have the right to refuse it. But if you know Christ as your Savior, I'm sure you will accept it. And if you accept it, you're saying that you want to be the bride of Christ, because the believers on this earth indeed are the bride of Christ. Those that have received Christ are his bride. And that's the importance, or part of the importance here, of our communion service. So it's a very solemn thing that we have to do here tonight. And of course, back to that Last Supper, we realize that the terms of the covenant for us, the terms now of that covenant was Jesus' blood. He shed that for us. And that's the terms of the covenant that he made with us. And a covenant cannot be broken if you're saved here today. You have a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. You will not lose your salvation. Amen? It's a covenant relationship. So today when we're taking of the broken bread and the fruit of the vine, it's symbolic of our relationship to him. And I ask that you do it very prayerfully here in just a moment or two. But first we'll sing one more song, all right? And then we'll begin. Let's turn to 235. 235. Lead me to Calvary, and let's sing the first verse. King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thine storm-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. All right, Brother Phil, if you'll come down here, please, to the front. Dave and Tim, of course, are gone with others on a trip, vacation of sorts, I guess, down south. But Phil will come to the front, and I'll help him tonight. The two of us will serve the elements of the Lord's Supper. Now, for a couple things I'll just say. Have a seat here a minute, Phil. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us some instructions. It tells us that we are to examine ourselves. And so we're going to just take a moment to do that. You know, some churches might have communion in the morning, and that's okay. There's a lot of differences with, well, not a lot, but there are some differences There's differences, such as some churches might practice what is said to be closed communion, and it's just for their church members. I know some churches, in fact, that'll just have a communion service on a different weeknight, and only members of the church can come. Clearly, the Bible qualifications for participating in this Lord's Supper tonight are to be saved, okay? This is for a child of God. So parents, you need to be discerning with your children that are here, but I leave that to your care, okay? But the Bible says we are to examine ourselves, and that's part of the reason I like to do it in the evening, because it's kind of the choir that I'm preaching to on Sunday evenings. And Sunday mornings, you just never know. And then there's always the seeming pressure of, well, when that comes, I better take of it. And then, of course, there are some people that think that if they participate in communion, that'll get them to heaven. Well, that's wrong. Has nothing to do with your being saved. Being saved is something that is where you start. Accepting Christ as your Savior, that's the beginning. So what we're doing here tonight has nothing to do with being saved, but it has everything to do with your relationship with Christ. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us to examine ourselves. I said some churches have closed communion. Other churches term it open communion. That means anybody can participate if they're a believer in Christ. I like to term it this way, close communion. If a visitor were here and they know Christ as their Savior, they could participate with us. That's the way I've always done it. And I think perhaps that's the way this church has always done it. I'm not certain, but I think so. But I say close communion. Why? Because we have to examine ourselves and make sure we're close to the Lord, that there's nothing between our souls and the Savior. You know, a bride and a bridegroom, and they're close. There's no secrets. They're tied together, okay? And that's where we have to be with the Lord. And so we're going to take a few moments here tonight to examine our hearts and go to the silent prayer, and just go to the Lord and thank Him for what He's done for you. Confess any known sin in your life. Hey, tell Him you love Him. He likes to hear that. We know the Lord loves us, but the Bible says He likes to hear us tell Him we love Him. So tell Him you love Him tonight. And then let Him control your life, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. All right, if you'll look up here for a moment. We'll start with the passage in Luke that we just read indicates, we'll start with the bread, which is represents the broken body of Christ. There are some denominations that believe it becomes the body of Jesus Christ. That's false, okay? That's heresy. But we believe it represents the broken body. The scripture says here in verse 19, and He took bread and gave thanks and broke it. Well, it's already been broken, and we'll give thanks as soon as everybody has a piece. Hold it, would you please, okay? And I just don't partake if you don't know the Lord as your Savior and if your heart's not right with God. Be in an attitude of prayer, if you would, please. Once again, and He took bread, and gave thanks, broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for going to Calvary's tree and allowing a spear to be thrust into your side and a crown of thorns to be platted upon your head, for your hands and your feet to be nailed to an old rugged cross. Your body was broken for us, Heavenly Father. We thank you for that today and for your great, great love for us. Thank you that we can remember it. In Jesus' name, amen. Eat ye all of it. Then the next verse says, likewise also the cup. Verse 20 says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Brother Phil, would you lead us in prayer? And if you'll stand, please. The Bible indicates that they sang a hymn before they went out. And I want to take the last one on our little list here, number 587. If you need your book, it's Victory in Jesus. We're just going to sing the verse, so you may not need it. 587. Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin, and I won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He loved me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I hope this has been a good evening for you. It's been a good time of fellowship and fellowship with the Lord this evening. Let's close with a word of prayer, okay? Father, thank you for your blessings this day. 50 here this morning on what some might say is a down day, but we're thankful for everybody that was here. Bless our people that are sick and away, and Lord, I just pray that you'll bring them back to the house of God next week. Watch over us this week. Lord, guide us wherever we go and give us safety, I pray, Lord. May our lives be testimonies of your grace. As we mentioned this morning, grace. And then, Lord, if we live in grace, we believe there'll be peace. And, Lord, we seek your peace as well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.